Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34, Christ's work to warn of believers' future waning priority on Bible exposition. We learn in our first lesson in this series that Mark's gospel presents the perfect service of God's perfect servant Jesus, with Mark's focus of having rebounded unto upright Christian service from his own personal failure in the mission field. Well, in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35, with Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20, we found that such failure rises out of one's heart being unproductive soil to heed God's word. And Mark 4, 21 to 29 revealed ways that believers can become more productive soil for the word of God. However, a huge threat exists to the production of spiritual growth, and Jesus exposed it and warned about it in the parable of the mustard seed in Mark 4, 30 to 34, so we view it for our insight and our edification. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 34. And he, that's Jesus, said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less or smaller than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out great branches so that the birds of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." And with many such parables spoke he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable did he not speak unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Now, these other parables are the parables that we see in Matthew chapter 13. The deal, you got the parable of the leaven and the tares and so forth being sown in amongst the good seed. But Mark doesn't go into that. He just goes into the mustard seed. Very interesting. Well, to understand this parable, the Mark 4, 30 to 32 parable on the mustard seed, we view its previous context. Context. Hear me talk about that a lot. The context is the determining factor on how to understand the Word of God. First of all, Jesus had encountered people of varying degrees of faith or its lack back in Mark chapter 3, you'll recall. You'll remember he encountered the hardened unbelief of the unsaved scribes in Mark chapter 3, 22 to 30. They were the ones who claimed that Jesus was casting demons out by Satan's power. And then there was the weak faith of his earthly family members who had come to take custody of him because they thought because he was skipping meals, because he was serving the needs of people, that he was beside himself. So that happened in Mark 3, 20 to 21 and verse 31. And then also he referred to the richly productive faith of his ardent followers in Mark 3, 32 to 35. He was in a house and he says, "Who are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters?" And he panned around, spread his hand around a room. "These are they. And do the will of God." So three entirely different types of soils. So in Jesus' Mark chapter 4, then Christ explained this variation by the parable of the sower in Mark 4, 1 to 20. And it's better named the parable of the soils, teaching that the receptivity of man's heart to God's word determine its spiritual production. Well, Jesus in Mark 4, 21 to 29, in the parables of the candle, parables of the measure, parable of the seed growing slowly, he had taught his disciples how to improve the soil of their hearts towards spiritually growing in him. And we covered that last week. However, the parable of the mustard seed shifts the focus away from the dietary production of the seed sown that existed in the earlier Mark 4, 2 to 29 parables, to a focus on the tiny physical size of the seed sown and the remarkably large physical size of the plant that it produces. Now, the mustard seed, the mustard plant produces mustard that we would use in a lot of our mustards today, but they didn't use that in Jesus' day. Some scholars believe that there was an oil that the mustard plant produced, and they could use some of the oil, but it was not a crop that you would eat. So there's been a tremendous change from the focus on producing grain or sowing grain so that you can produce grain that you can eat, to sowing something that doesn't produce anything you eat. It just looks big. In other words, the shift is on to that which is external. And this is the warning that Jesus gives. Now, the parable likens the kingdom of God to a grain of mustard seed, a very tiny seed that is sown only to produce a plant of up to 15 feet in height that contains a thick main stem and branches strong enough to hold even the weight of birds. This was likely the black mustard in Jesus' day, or the Brassica nigra, used in Jesus' day possibly for its oil content. But clearly the focus of the parable is not on the edible food that the plant can produce, but on the plant itself. Now, other factors reveal this focus is a spiritually unedifying one as follows. You'll notice that the birds, in the Greek is tapateina, that come to lodge under the mustard plant's branches recall the birds, the same word, tapateina, in the parable of the sower. You know, back in Mark chapter 4, verse 32, it's referring back to Mark chapter 4, verse 4, that the birds came, and some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And then Jesus explained that in verse 14 and 15, the sower is the word, and these are they that are sown by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And when you have the birds in the parables of Jesus, that's always a negative sign that refers to that which is satanic or demons or something like that, because they're harmful for the seeds that you want to grow, and that's why he used that illustration at that particular point. So, those birds, picturing Satan, destructively eat up the seed lest it germinate to produce an edible crop for the sower. Now remember, the mustard plant, the birds are coming and lodging under its branches, which means Satan feels very comfortable there. That's not what you want in the kingdom of God. You don't want Satan feeling comfortable to be a part of the system, but that's what's happening. Now, with the growth of the mustard plant, there's no reference to yielding any edible food for a sower, but only it's sending out large branches, good only to shelter birds that eat at the seed sown. We fall into this trap, especially in America. Often I'll know pastors will get together and they say, have you had a building program lately? Well, have you added an educational wing? What's the size of your congregation? What's the size of the money that they're giving and so forth? And many pastors gauge success by how much the church is giving, by the size of the church, or how many worship services you have in the morning or in the evening, as the case may be. But everything's on size, size, size. That doesn't necessarily disciple, and that's what we got to watch. So there's an implied, unedifying focus on the physical expansion of the seed from its tiny origin to a huge plant, and there's no concern expressed for the production of edible food as in the earlier parables. This reminds me of a man that we heard recently, Bill Hybels, I believe it was, talked about how he had built up a large work, and after a number of years, he came to the realization, he said, I'm not discipling people. We got a big building, we got a lot of programs, we've got a lot of people involved, but we're not doing any discipling. So he said, we need to get back to discipling, and the only way to do that is by Bible exposition. And when he said that, I believe it was two-thirds or three-quarters of his church left. They didn't want that. They wanted the program. They wanted the excitement. They wanted to have their ears tickled. They did not want the word. But he decided, I'm going to have to answer to God someday, so let's get back to preaching the word. Very interesting. So the parable of the sower was a warning from Jesus about a future harmful waning of priority on Bible exposition, the seed sown, toward the production of real spiritual growth to an infatuation with externalism where explosive external organizational growth would be the focus. This change in focus not only ceases to produce spiritual growth, but since such massive physical growth shields Satan's activities, it comes to be used by him to harm true discipleship. This is really a sad issue, but it is a very important one, and it's a focus. We're hearing increasingly of very large churches, but of problems there where the churches are so large and they're inviting so many unsaved people in, they don't feel comfortable preaching the gospel straight up. So they delay preaching the gospel because they don't want to turn a lot of the unsaved people away. Well, after a while, you're not really preaching anything. And that's what's beginning to go on in some of these huge super churches. Well, we need to watch out for that. I'll never forget Dr. Mitchell, who is one of the founders of Multnomah School of the Bible, where I attended. He wrote an article in Moody Monthly, it was there a number of years ago, about the lost or the dying art of expository preaching. And he really complained about that because he said it's hard to find anymore even churches where they're even preaching the Bible. They may be preaching topical sermons or something that is interesting. Maybe there's an issue that's come up in the news, and so they'll preach about that. But very few are actually expounding the Word of God. And he was very, very concerned. This was back in the 70s. He was still living at the time. But he was very, very concerned about it. Well, Christ gave many more parables, according to verses 33 and 34. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spoke he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all the things to his disciples. So he gave many more parables, not named here, but he explained them to his disciples in private, signaling the apostasy to come, even in Christendom, that would make it like apostate Israel was in his day. You see, Israel was so apostate, Jesus couldn't give them truth straight up. He gave them truth in parabolic form so that those who would hear, but they wouldn't understand it. They were already turned off to his message. So the lesson is Jesus warned his disciples in the parable of the mustard seed about the coming harmful waning priority of Bible teaching, Bible exposition, in favor of organizational development that would impact Christendom, a priority shift that would both stifle real spiritual growth and also be used of Satan to oppose true discipling in Christendom. So we need to trust in Jesus to be saved, yes, Mark 1:1 and Mark 1:15, but as believers, may we keep focused on heeding Scripture, that we might grow in Christ versus favoring external organizational growth at the cost of Bible exposition, that we might stay spiritually productive versus harming real discipleship in our lives and the church. I got a letter not too long ago from a party I know, and this party is involved in a rather large, extensive church, is involved in various ministries, and this letter went on to indicate that there was a prayer request because they were finding difficulty in regards to time management and time to study God's Word. And I'm thinking, wow, here's a party that is involved, rolled up his arm sleeves, serving the Lord, but he's getting to the point where he's finding it difficult to find time to study. Well, what's he going to feed his people if he doesn't study? And this type of a thing is something I have seen for years and years and years. Dr. Vernon McGee, who wrote the Commentary Through the Bible series, he pastored the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles many years ago. And he said if he ever had to do it again, he would never pastor a church over 250 people. And that's still a lot of people. But he had been used to preaching to many hundreds. And he said the reason is you cannot do an effective discipling work as a pastor, because you don't even know the people. And if you don't know them, how can you help them? So it's very important. Also this afternoon, after the morning worship service, I was talking with a believer today in Fellowship Hall, the church member, and he was very concerned about what he saw as theological weakness or imprecision in various ministries that he had known and seen. And I reiterated once again the tremendous need on focusing on the content of Scripture. As many of you heard, Dr. Pentecost in Dallas Seminary passed away, but back in the winter of 2000, he wrote an article. Actually, he was interviewed for an article for a circular for alumni, and he said the great need across evangelicalism today is Bible exposition. And he says some of our own grads are getting involved in going for church growth rather than focusing on the Word. But he says the Word, it's the Word that causes people to believe in Christ. It's the Word by which people grow. And if you get away from the Word, then you get away from doing what God wants you to do. He says that may not necessarily build a mega church, but it'll certainly fulfill that which you have been called to do before the Lord. So he had his wish that his own graduates from the seminary would get back to really preaching the Word. So may God help us. No matter where we're at, whether we're teaching in the Sunday school classes, whether it's preaching from the Word or filling the pulpit, whatever we do, we bring the Word of God. It's the Word of God that God wants to honor And that's what's going to get the discipling job done.